Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Check them out. Everybody appreciates it. How's everybody doing this morning? It is August 9th, 2021. Beautiful day outside. Finally got some rain. Not sure where you're at, but it has been dry as a bone here. And, you know, they've been calling, like for the last 2 weeks, you know, rain and nothing. And so this weekend, I guess, not even yesterday, I guess it was Saturday, they said rain all day. And I was like, yeah, right. Well, it did. It actually rained all day and all night and just feels fresh, right? Nice and clean, nice and washed. Like the Pearl Jam song, this city is so filthy. It needed a good washing and it got it. So that felt good. Grass is starting to green back up. Everything was kind of choking out, dying, or going dormant, whatever you want to call it. How was your weekend? My weekend was lazy, very lazy. In fact, I told my wife today, please, let's do something. Saturday was pretty lazy. Sunday was definitely lazy. But we hung out. It's fine. I mean, you know, it's important for me at least to have some lazy days, right? I always feel so bad about it. I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something all the time. Fixing something, building something, recording something. I have a brother-in-law. He's always like building something. You know, he's always doing something. Timmy. And I'm like, I personally can just chill out and hang out with my wife. Me and my wife like hanging out. We have a good time. We were watching, people are probably going to be like, oh my God, you just started watching it, but we just started watching The Outer Banks. And that's only because my son Sam was like, let's watch The Outer Banks. It's good. It's a little, it gives my wife some anxiety. It gives me a little bit of anxiety, but I think I've seen this, you know, whole thing play out before. You know, they never get caught. It's just this, you know, in fact, there is a, someone was just saying they just finished watching season two. I'm like, damn, we're only like three seasons into season one. But it's been good. If you haven't checked it out, it's a good show. All the beautiful people, young, beautiful people, right? Hanging out by the beach, living that life. I told my wife, I'm like, that'd be fun to live by the beach. And then we're like, oh, yeah, we already do live by the beach. We just don't hang out in like broken down boats and drinking and partying all the time. I used to kind of live that Outer Banks life, but it was more in the Albuquerque, not in the Outer Banks. But just always having fun and not a care in the world. It reminds me a lot of myself living in Albuquerque, you know, partying every night, you know, the different groups of people, unfortunately coming across different groups of people at different times, sometimes ending up getting in fights, sometimes getting my ass kicked, you know, just this wild, free living life. And, you know, so to watch that show reminded me a little bit of myself, except for, you know, we weren't in boats. We were on motorcycles and stuff in the desert. We also watched, oh my God, I don't know if anybody's watched this, but there's I think it's on HBO Max, a documentary about Woodstock 99. Oh my God. Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, the hedonism. Disgusting. We have a big festival we're getting ready to go to in September called Firefly. And, you know, all these little festivals that we get to go to now are all probably byproducts of the Woodstock 99 What Not to Do handbook. Because, well, some of it. Because honestly, it is, in the end, it was weird because they were like, they implied like some of this took place because of the greed that was done by the festival. I mean, they were charging $4 for water. I mean, they were, you know, they were wrenching it to the people a bit, but shit, we're going to go to this Firefly Festival. We will pay $7 for a lemonade. We always laugh about it. It's a tradition. Well, we got to get that $7 lemonade. But, you know, I mean, it's expensive. But luckily Firefly won't have, I don't know how many freaking people were at the Woodstock 99, but there was a shitload. And, you know, piss poor planning, pretty much what it came down to. And those people went nuts. But it was an interesting thing because it was like so many, they keep saying, you know, these 20-something white kids that are so angry. I don't know. It did appear that way. I don't know what was up with that. I remember as I'm 52 now, so 99. You know, I was in my 30s, I guess 31, maybe 30. But I remember, you know, I was young and wild. I think the majority of the kids at this concert were probably a little bit younger, but it was just it was crazy. You know, part of me is like, oh my God, I love that. Because that was my life. You know, living in Albuquerque, we were in bands, drinking, breaking shit, you know. Limp Bizkit went on stage and just fucking fired the place up. We're going to break some shit. And they did. They tore the place down, set it on fire. The behavior with the women, though, that was weird. Because there were a lot of girls that were just going around without any tops at all. Which, hey, listen, more power to you. I know we're in a weird place, you know. I mean, I don't want to promote women not wearing their shirts, but it is always a question. Why is it fair that guys can do that and women can't? I don't know. I wasn't here when that rule started. You know, it's weird. But there was a lot of women at the concert with their tops off, and a lot of sexual abuse took place. A lot of, they said there was some people got raped. These girls would crowd surf on their backs and they would just basically be just, you know, hands all over and everywhere, in and out. And I don't want to say, because like my wife said, well, so that makes it their fault. I guess it doesn't. But, you know, I there's no excuse for the behavior that went on that day or that weekend. But, yeah. But anyway, I wanted to talk about, so it is Monday. I'm going to a meeting tonight. I don't know what's going to be on the meeting agenda because, like I said, the meeting last week was supposed to be on the seventh step. And we reverted back to the first step because there was a newcomer at the meeting. And so I don't know if we go back to the seventh step tonight or if we go to the eighth step. But I thought maybe I'll just read the seventh step, the small version of it. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. What is humility? What can it mean to us? The avenue to true freedom of the human spirit. Necessary aid to survival. Value of ego puncturing. Failure and misery. Transformed by humility, strength from weakness, pain is the admission price to a new life, self-centered fear, activator of defects. Step seven is change in attitude, which permits us to move out of ourselves towards God. You know, I love this right here. Pain is the admission price to new life. I've said it several times. I say it all the time, really. You know, I'm not living unless I'm suffering. And that, to think that people have a lot of trouble understanding what that means because how it sounds is not necessarily how I mean, but right there, pain is the admission price. That's where the miracle takes place, the suffering. Pain is the admission price to new life. And I agree. You know, and I've shared 1,000 times when I run. You know, running to me is suffering. It is not my favorite thing to do. It's a tough hour. But it's not. But it is. It's crazy. And the suffering isn't just the running. It's actually doing it. I called my buddy James last night. I'm like, hey, you want to run in the morning? I need to go for a run. I haven't run all week. And he's like, I've been fighting a little thing. So I'm going to have to check in later in the week. I'm like, that's fine. I had all intentions of getting up this morning, going for a run. Didn't do it. I'm just in this weird place right now with this running. And nothing's changed. I feel great. I tell you what, I feel probably part of the problem is I feel great. I'm feeling a little thinner. I'm feeling a little more like I've kind of gotten my diet a little bit more under control. I've talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm eating more food. That might sound bizarre, but I'm trying to keep my, metabolism. Thank you. I'm trying to keep my metabolism a little bit more fired up and running. So I'm eating more food. I'm eating breakfast. I'm eating snacks. I'm eating lunch. I'm eating snacks. I'm eating dinners. And I feel really good. You know, I don't feel as bloated. I don't feel as confused in how I'm eating and why I'm eating. I actually feel really good. And I think I shared before, you know, I found out that I'm doing a lot of running so I can eat badly. So eat better. And sometimes, you know, running isn't as required. So I'm having some trouble getting out there. And that's why I have people I run with, just so I have I won't let somebody else down. I'll let myself down, but not somebody else. So, but he couldn't do it. So of course I missed my run this morning. So, you know, it's obviously physically challenging and taxing when you have to run, but it's mentally and spiritually taxing too, because I have to actually go do it. And this whole committee thing goes on. And so I did not run this morning, but, you know, pain is the admission price to new life. And that's what really, to me, all this is about. You know, I talked about it the other day, there's a sobriety look at it and there's a serenity look at it. And to me, the sobriety look is a little less painful. The serenity look is where I had to really, and still have to, really do some rubber to the road kind of work, you know, relationships with a higher power. You know, I love how in the seventh step it says, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. I'm like, what's the opposite of that? Remove my goddamn shortcomings. You know, all of a sudden you start yelling. It's like, hey, God, just want to be, you know, super humble here and ask you to remove some of these shortcomings. Because what that says to me is there's this serenity version and a sobriety version. And the sobriety version to me is probably kicking up a lot more dust. You know, this ain't working. You know, where in the serenity side, a serenity frame of mind is more about being humble. You know, really seeking out some peace, really seeking out some solutions. Quietly, humbly seeking out some help. You know, this isn't demanding. This isn't fuck this bullshit. All right, fine. You know, I think we've all seen that version of things. There's a version before you get handcuffed of you, and then there's a version after you get handcuffed of you. And the one that's before is self, and the one that's after is very humble. You know, when your wrists hurt and they bang your head going into the car, and all of a sudden you have demands and you're thirsty and you need help and you can't breathe and all this bullshit. Prior to that, self was like, fuck yeah, you're not arresting me. And then all of a sudden, bam, humiliation. The switch flips over. So humbly asked for water in the back of the police car. Humbly asked to have the handcuffs loosened in the back of the police car. There's a difference from the version prior to getting the handcuffs asking. You know, and good or bad, whether you liked it or not, but I was a big fan of the show Cops. I sort of feel a little bit bad about that because it does seem, unfortunately, it wasn't a great, I don't know, it was a weird show. But I loved Cops when I was a kid, and we used to watch Live PD. But there was a point in that show where I'm like, this is just too much. I don't get it. You know, we're just arresting people. You know, they're just harassing people now. But I would watch it, and, you know, these people would have this transformation from the person they were to the person they would be once they got handcuffs on. You know, the fight is over. And then you start to find some humility. And, you know, so to humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Who's him? Right? Who is him? Humbly asked him. See, I feel like if it was they were talking, and this is me thinking, you know, don't pay any attention if you don't. I'm not trying to make things more confusing, but humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. I mean, that is usually if it's a relationship with a higher power, it says higher power. If it's a relationship with God, for me, they're all kind of the same. But to humbly ask him was a little bit, I immediately assume they mean God. But they do such a great job about specifying previously that I was like, why is it him? Is this a sponsor? What? I don't know. Not sure. I'm not sure it even matters. I think what matters is humbly asked to remove our shortcomings. Humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings? I mean, if you're humbly asking, I'm going to imagine it's some sort of higher power. You know? I don't ask for anything. Like I've said in the past, I recognize the problem and I just turn it over. And I think that's the beginning to solving any issue that you might have to bring up with your higher power. You know? Powerless. Ego, pride. I mean, that's, you know, that business I got in. I was powerless. I was begging, please, I'm turning this over to you, God. I'm just recognizing that I'm powerless. This is my fault. It's fucking a lame situation, and I'm turning it over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough. Sometimes my shoulders are big enough to handle things. You know, they come and go, but there are some times where you feel it in your stomach. You know, and the worst ones are really when you're almost innocent. And, you know, if I was going to look at that whole situation, I mean, I was somewhat innocent, but to be honest, I was very guilty. And I've talked about it. You know, it was a greed move, a money grab. And I got what I deserved. But there was a point, and I humbly asked him, I'm turning this over to you. You know, the problem with shortcomings is they're really, I mean, they could be sort of innocent, right? Flipping the bird, not using your blinker, cutting people off, throwing gum in the parking lot, you know, all the making sure you scan all your items and self-checkout, you know. That might even be a character defect. That I think falls under stealing. But you know, I think we've all had that moment where we're scanning stuff, and I'm like, hey, I could just throw this cream cheese, and nobody would know. Nobody would know. But the difference is today is that I would know. And there is a personal thing to me about saying that. Listen, I don't steal today. You know, I don't want to say, yeah, I don't steal, but I will steal a cream cheese because nobody will know. You know, the Wawa sugar packets is still, I was telling somebody the other day about this, and I immediately said that, and they immediately smiled. They knew exactly what I was talking about. Innocent little things, innocent little shortcomings. You know, all these things kind of flirt around with character. You know, there's a parking lot down by my house, and when you go there, you're supposed to pay $5. It's on a honor system. I don't know how many people pay it. I know that I've gone to another state park and not paid before, and acted like I didn't know. But in turn, I knew. But I went at like 5:30 in the morning. It shouldn't cost anything at 5:30 in the morning. But, you know, it's just another shortcoming. So to humbly ask him to remove all our shortcomings is like, it almost takes a little more work. Like, of course we don't want to drink and drive. Of course I don't want to steal. Of course I don't want to lie. I mean, these character defects will completely wreck your life. You know, the sex stuff. I mean, probably could start a whole podcast on the sex stuff. You know, the behavior at that Woodstock 99. There's some character defect up in there. A lot of it was probably promoted by drinking, but, you know, but those are obvious. Like, goddamn, I got to fix that. But do I need to stop throwing my gum in the parking lot? You know, is that the, do I need to, I mean, what am I hurting, right? So to, these are like serious. These are like the fine tuning. These are the ones that are like, you really got to, I have to be like, I don't know what I have to be like, honestly. I mean, it's a little, it's, I try to think as how I use myself as an example. I mean, you know, I don't steal sugar from Wawa anymore, but I still throw my gum in the damn parking lot. I throw it hard, though. I try to get it to the grass. I don't know. You know, I guess I'm just, you know, you do the best you can, right? You can only, I mean, I could do better. But that freaking gum, man, it's a thing.
Yep. I, you know, if, you know, step eight, which we're headed to, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. You know, and I'll just read this. This and the next two steps are concerned with personal relations. Learning to live with others in a fascinating adventure. Obstacles, reluctance to forgive, not admission of wrongs to others, purposeful forgetting, necessity of exhaustive survey of past, deepening insight results from thoroughness, kinds of harm done to others, avoiding extreme judgments, taking the objective view. Step eight is the beginning of the end of isolation. I mean, this is what makes us better. This is like, this is it. I remember as an active addict, whatever, I was completely isolated from normal people. You know, I had the few I hung out with, but there was no going from one to the other. I couldn't live that life and live a life that I live today. You can't bridge those two. They don't. Like today, as a person I live today, I know nobody that lives a life like the life I used to live. But that life that I used to live was very, very lonely. You know, the ability to forgive people. I mean, that I can't tell you how many people I know that hate somebody. Right? I can't tell you how many people I know that are so firm in their belief of the hate for this person and they can't let it go. You know, this is the freedom. The willingness. All it takes is a willingness. You know, just to open a little bit of the door, right? The life I live today, I have no fear of people. I have no fear of relationships, past or present, or future. You know, if I have a problem with talking with somebody, it's usually because I'm insecure about myself. But it's not what I've done or what they've done. I still don't feel like I'm good enough sometimes. I'm still that Walmart shoe. I'm not that Air Jordan, you know. But listen, you know, as at 52, man, I've seen a lot of stuff. And you start realizing that nobody's perfect. Nobody's completely happy. Everybody suffers. Just when you think you got it figured out, something changes. Just when you think you got it, you know everything, you don't. And, you know, it's a surprise. All right, let me see if I can find something to read here. So we'll find out. I'll know more. You know, tonight I'm going to go to the meeting. We'll probably do the seventh step, and then we'll start heading to the eighth step. But, you know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings is a big deal. You know, a notorious shortcoming is for people that always say, I was going to do that. Or I know. There's this, like even my daughter, who's my little daughter, you know. I'll say, Teresa, you left your mess here. I know. No. Yeah, I mean, you might know. But it's like this weird reaction. I know. I'm like, no, you didn't know. Or, Teresa, you left all your stuff here. I know. But, you know, it's just this habit. But she's also nine. You know, I used to work with this person, and I would come to work, and I'd be like, God, you know. Nobody did the towels. Let me do the towels. Let's start the machine. Oh, I was going to do that. Oh, I was going to pick that up. Oh, I was going to finish that. Oh, I was going to clean that up. But you didn't. This is a shortcoming. This is the kind of bullshit that fucking aggravates people. Oh, I was going to do that. I think your brain says it. Part of your brain believes it. And part of your brain pats yourself on the back for believing that you thought you were going to do something you never did. So what happens is you end up becoming this person that doesn't finish things, 80%er. You start to become this person that everybody's like gets annoyed with. You know, stop saying that. Humbly ask God to, or whoever, to remove that from you. If you're one of those people that says, I was going to do that, we all know you weren't. So stop the fucking bullshit. All right, let's do a reading and then I got to go. Let's see. Okay, daily reflections. I wonder what's going to say. What is it going to say today? Some sort of reflection, I'm imagining. All right, August 9th. Of all persons we had harmed. Okay. And became willing to make amends to them all. 12 steps and 12 traditions. Page 77. One of the key words in the eighth step is the word all. I am not free to select a few names for the list and to disregard others. It is a list of all persons I have harmed. I can see immediately that this step entails forgiveness, because if I'm not willing to forgive someone, there's little chance I will place his name on the list. Before I placed the first name on my list, I said a little prayer. I forgive anyone and everyone who has ever harmed me at any time and under any circumstances. It is well for me to contemplate a small but very significant two-letter word every time the Lord's Prayer is said. The word is, as I ask, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In this case, as means in the same manner. I am asking to be forgiven in the same manner that I forgive others. As I say this portion of the prayer, if I'm harboring hatred or resentment, I'm inviting more resentment when I should be calling on the Spirit for forgiveness. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny when I realized that I could let this stuff go and I could forgive and I didn't have to carry this. I'm like, what? Have you ever met somebody that's so, usually it's in family. You know, I had a situation come up and actually with my father and uncle. Maybe I'll talk about that another day, but it reminded me that I don't care for my uncle, right? And it all of a sudden allowed me to step up on my soapbox and just kind of not really like him a lot, like kind of hate him. And I have to, you know, I can't live that. You know, I can't be selective with my hate. You know, I don't want to be a hater. So I have to just let it go, right? You know, you're not hurting me. Anything that he's doing is an inconvenience to me. So if it's an inconvenience, I get annoyed. But just, I have to recognize that's all it is just an inconvenience. Oh, shit, I'm going long. All right, listen, hope everyone's having a great day. We will catch up later. Bye.